This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Keys to the game, expectations for Andrew Heaney. There is a lot that goes into this. And Corey, I don't want you to freak out or anything because there's a long way to go. But just think about this. In less than 36 hours, the Texas Rangers could be the champions of the world.
In your face, Mike. You said it at the beginning of the season, you were like, look.
84 wins, not making the playoffs. Yeah. That's what I said.
84 wins got the Diamondbacks in the World Series.
Yeah. So that's where we stand here. That's very exciting. I will say I'm with Mike on the aspect of I can't let myself think about having already won the World Series. But Mike, instead of being nervous like you have been, and with the I can't remember where your energy is distributed. My energy is more built on like, okay, let's focus on this project today, you know, and then once this one's done, all right, now let's focus on the next one. And that's kind of where my mind is let's get this one done, reassess it, come back for the next one.
You have little kids. I know that.
Yep.
Kevin has a little kid that, look, he has no clue what Halloween is. Noah, not
he
yet.
He did dress up as a dog.
Dude, yet. These pictures are adorable.
He didn't dress up, Jess did.
Yeah. That is true.
Was that Jess a dog or a cow?
It was a dog.
But what I'm saying is how many dads or moms that are Ranger fans, how are they doing Halloween tonight? Are they making sure Halloween ends at 7 o'clock?
I bet so, right?
Or are you like, screw it, we're up 2-1, it's Halloween, and my kids come first, and I'm Halloweening till 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I'll catch the last three innings of the game or something.
Okay, I want to ask you a question, because you said 8:30 or 9. I think for a lot of kids, like probably 8,
okay,
is you can easily get out by 8. Is there a time that you would feel comfortable starting the game on the DVR knowing you would catch up quickly? Like, no. Do you have a built-in buffer to 7:15, 7:30?
Well, here's my problem with that.
You used to be able to hit the button and you knew you wouldn't miss a pitch. Now it's tough to hit that 15-second forward button because you're going to miss a pitch.
The other thing, too, is like there's no way I can be away from my phone tonight. All right, and when I say that, I mean I need to be able to make sure I can get texts from Avery. Because he's going to be out. No, I have no clue what he's doing. Like, I have zero clue what his plans are. I know what he's dressing up as. Pretty awesome costume. Pretty proud of him.
But he's not necessarily trick-or-treating,
but he
right?
goes with his friends, and they go run around the neighborhood. Okay. And I don't know. But I'm actually pretty proud of him. He's not one of those troublemakers. So at least that I know of yet. Anyway.
Not till.
Yeah, exactly. I know. But then with Carter, but I can't. So I need texts from him. And so I know that if I turn my phone off, I won't be able to get that. But if I have my phone on, you guys will be texting, and that'll be something. And so somebody's going to text something that's like, boom, and I'm going to be like, what just happened? And so that I can't. I'm just going to have to sit down, watch the game, and hand out trick-or-treat candy tonight. That's my job. Adrian wants that job tonight. She is like, she wants to be at the house, too. She doesn't want to walk around. She's in. She's loving what the Rangers are doing, but Lucy needs to go. Carter's going with a friend. Avery's going with his buddies. So we're just taking Lucy around our street area and then bringing her home by the time first pitch happens. That's how we're rocking tonight.
Okay.
But I've seen a lot of people texting in saying they're moving the TV to the front yard, putting a campfire out, and doing everything from the front yard, watching the game in the front yard with everybody.
See, that's not a bad idea. Let me change that. That is a good idea, especially when you're in that group with people like your neighbors or from your street or whatever. It just feels so much more socially acceptable. Plus, you still get to hang out with people who hopefully are likewise invested in the Rangers.
I think it was, I can't remember if it was 2010 or 11, Kevin, but I had a Rangers shirt and a hat, helmet or something. And we walked around Adrian's parents' neighborhood, and they were like, what are you? And I was like, I'm a Rangers fan. What's the score? So that was back in the day whenever they had a game during Halloween, and I was literally like peeking into people's houses asking if I could. I'm good at that. You know, I've gotten into people's houses before. We've talked about
that. Yeah, I don't know if that is totally a brag. You're right about that.
If you need me to get a thief, it's a great brag.
Yeah. If you need me to get into your house,
into
I know
house
how.
Is
yeah.
Tremendously well.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Dress up as a security guard during Christmas, and you just tell people you're making sure that their houses are secure.
No to this is realistic expectations for Andrew Heaney tonight. And I have to admit, and I said this before, I don't love Heaney over Dunning. I
would have picked Dunning, but,
yeah.
Look,
but I mean, clearly, Bochy's, and he's been on a roll. So many of the things that he said have worked out great. So, yeah, who am I to question?
Obviously, Heaney came in game two and didn't look very impressive in that situation. But they want him facing, from what I understand, because the start of the game, Corbin Carroll will be hitting in the first inning. Marte hits lefties a hair better than righties, but he's good on both sides. Is they want that. My expectation is 3 innings, 1 run.
Okay.
That's what my expectation is. Because I do think this, when Christian Walker comes up for a second time, that will be probably the 12th batter of the game, right? Because you'll face the 9 guys in the lineup, and then you'll face Marte and Corbin Carroll. And then I think you take them out for Dane Dunning. And then Dane Dunning works batters 3 through 9. And then you see where you're at from that point. Okay. So I'm hoping, this is my hope. 1, 3 innings, 1 run from Andrew Heaney. If he does more, great. We're getting gravy on those potatoes right now.
Especially because you mentioned Walker. He's obviously picking it up,
right?
It feels like.
But I want 15 outs from Dunning and Heaney. However it's combined, 5 innings, 2 runs or less. If they do that job, 5 innings, 2 runs right now, like you say, would you take this before the game started? 100%. Those two guys combined for 15 outs and only give up 2 runs. I'm living with that, and I'm asking my offense to hit the ball well tonight because bullpen days can get very wonkety, because if you look at
wonky.
You had 2 words that you threw out there, and neither one of them were right.
But they were very close.
Okay. All right.
Right?
I'm glad Kevin was here.
Hand grenades and horseshoes. You know what I'm saying?
Second time that's been used in the studio today.
So, where I was going with what I was saying, you know?
5 innings from the combo. You give up 2 runs.
This is about offense with France. If you remember when the Astros had to have a bullpen day, they weren't planning on it, but it ended up being a bullpen day. All it took was one guy to get blown up in a hurry, and it screws everything up. That's what you're hoping from Arizona tonight. Screw up one of their relievers. They're going to pitch 7 guys tonight, if not more. You really want them to pitch more because that meant you blew somebody up.
Yeah.
And so that's what the Rangers, whether it's Mantiply, whether it's Frias who came in late last night, whether it is, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on the last guy they brought in. He threw 4 pitches, so he's really available. Sal Frank. So, like, you look at their guys, and you just, if you can get to one, but get to one in a hurry, and the next thing you know, you've got 3 runs on that guy, and then they're having to take him out, and they're like, oh, this has altered our whole plan of attack. So for the Rangers, that's the scary part, too, about your night tonight. Because really, you want to only have to pitch one other guy after those 2 guys I mentioned, because you want to go to Spores and Chapman. And
I don't.
He is a Halloween treat.
Yes.
And then go to Leclerc. And that's the thing is Chapman, once again, I'll mention this and mention it again. Why is he acting like he's a starting pitcher and throwing 96, 97, his first 5 fastballs?
It every time.
Load up your legs and let's go, man. This is the World Series. I need 100 from the start. I know you can throw at 104. All it took was Chaz McCormick's knee to be the target.
Maybe Mike, what he's doing is, you know, you're always talking about, you know, speed them up, slow them down, change eye levels. Like, those are the
things. When you throw, like me, somewhat, or a starting pitcher, yes, but when you're a reliever, John Gray came in last night throwing 97, 98. Like, he wasn't like, let me build up. It's like, let's go.
But I wonder if he's like, they're expecting fastball, you know, 100 miles an hour. So I'm going to set them up with something off. And maybe that's what I'm expecting.
And did it work?
I mean, he got out of the inning. with a double
play.
Well,
it didn't work. When he was throwing 96 to 98, we gave up a double and a single. Then Corbin Carroll came up, and did you notice that? First pitch, 100 miles an hour. Next pitch, like 101. Next pitch, 100. And then bastard slider. See you later, alligator.
That pitch was sweet.
And so I was just like, wait a second. You have it in you, and you're not a build-up guy. I just... If Chapman pitches tonight, which would be great, if Chapman pitches tonight, you're winning. You're winning the game. I don't know if you're winning the whole game, like the game's over, but that means you're in a winning situation late in the game. But I don't need this, hey, let me just feel this fastball out for five pitches. No, I don't want to feel you. I need to see 100 miles an hour.
I have an inning and a third for Heaney and four runs.
What?
That's what I'm expecting.
So you're expecting
him.
A loss?
I am expecting, a very tough ride tonight. Very similar to the last time that we had to deal with this and ride this one out. And it's not going to be easy. And the Rangers are going to have to scrap together some runs at some point. They don't have the big bat in Adolis Garcia, so people are going to try and pitch around things that they feel they can. I think that this is going to be one of those where small ball might be the essential for the Rangers tonight.
I appreciate what John Smoltz was saying because he was trying to hype up the Rangers, but one of the things he was talking about is he liked advantage Rangers when it came to the bullpen because on a bullpen day. Because of Heaney, Dunning, and then he brought up Martin Perez, and that made me nervous because I was like, I know it was not for very long, but when I saw Martin Perez out there, it looked like they were like, you're not fooling us on any pitch.
I hate to say this. I said about Chapman, you got to feel great if he comes into the game tonight in that you're winning. It doesn't mean you feel great about Chapman having an easy inning, but you are winning.
You think Perez goes out there because they just need somebody?
If Perez pitches, we're losing. Like, we're down by three or more runs. That's when Martin Perez will pitch in this game because, who he didn't name is you have Cody Bradford. They'll go to Cody Bradford in a tie situation or a one-run game tonight.
Dude, he's gained so much trust from Boach.
Yeah,
dude.
So I think, let's say after four innings, you're losing 2-1. You might, or it's 4-3, you're losing. Yeah. I think at that point, he'll go to Bradford to pick up an inning or two rather than Martin Perez. The other thing, too, is I was worried about this and you didn't need him. When they were warming up Will Smith at one point. I don't know how you guys feel about that because Will Smith was
not
so
great.
Nails for a while. And not then Will great. Smith, I was like, come on, Spores, get out of this situation. Like,
there's part of me that feels like he was gassed from being used so much throughout the early part of the season.
That's what my dad thinks,
and
too.
And he just needed some rest to kind of get back into his place. So I don't know. I haven't seen him enough to know that's a
Will
fact.
Will Smith.
Yeah, when it comes to Will Smith. But that's kind of what I'm hoping is that some of these guys just needed some rest, and now they're kind of back up on that upswing.
I wonder how much the Diamondbacks will sell out this game being down 2-1 in the series. Is that, let's just say they're down by a run. A lot of times you don't want to use your guys. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. I know Seawald's their closer. Who's the guy that has the great slider from the right side? Grinkle. They might just use him tonight going, look, we used him in game one. He didn't pitch game two. There was an off day. We didn't use him in game three. Yes, we have game four and game five back-to-back days, but then an off day. I think the Diamondbacks will be more likely to sell out in this game if it's like a one-run game and not go, well, we're not going to use them until we take the lead. I think you're going to see their best relievers in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning as long as it's within like three runs.
Okay, I want to ask you a bullpen question because this is the number one thing that bothers me about Aroldis Chapman is can you walk me through the warm-up process for a bullpen pitcher and when it goes from, don't worry about it, I know he had to get up and sit back down to, this is too much. Because the last several times Chapman's been in there, you've seen Leclerc get up almost immediately, and I realize he'd be pitching the ninth already, but it feels like he gets up quicker because Chapman quickly runs into trouble. Should I be concerned? Because I know Corey Seager bailed him out of it. I realize if Leclerc has to come in, that's a whole different deal. Any concern about he has to continually get up and the warm-up process and everything like that?
To your point, you would love to have more like Leclerc as there's two outs in the eighth inning to be like, all right, start playing catch.
Yes.
you're going to pitch the ninth inning. But I want you to start playing catch just in case two guys get on here in a hurry. I could possibly put you in. But when the first two guys get on in the eighth inning and you're like, go as fast as you can because we only want him facing one more batter the way this is going. And luckily he gets the strikeout, he gets the double play. But to your point, that's not ideal for your closer to have to warm up in the eighth inning with nobody out, possibly having to get you six outs. So I'm with you on that. It would help out if Chapman would have cleaner innings that Leclerc wouldn't have to be up at the beginning of the eighth inning. But I guess this is just where you're at. This is the pen that you have. Stratton wasn't a guy that you traded for that did the job you hoped he could do. Will Smith, like we talked about, maybe just overuse, age, I don't know, kind of wore him down as the season went along. And then Chapman, as great as he was for the first, I don't know, 2 months that you had him after the trade, became the guy that there was a reason he was a free agent for such a long time and the Royals signed him to a 1-year deal. And he's a guy that Chapman has the ability to dominate still. We've seen it in the playoffs. We saw it in the regular season. But he also has the unreliability that three guys that he faces are all three going to get on.
For the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan, I'm going to give you guys an option for this next segment. We haven't talked really about the Stars or the Mavericks at all. Do you want to dive into that next, or do you want to go around the NFC East?
Let's leave it to the Tolos. We'll let them text in now.
All right, 877-881-1053. Your Choose Your Own Adventure segment happens next right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Smart, the Defensive Player of the Year 2 seasons ago. Jaren Jackson, the Defensive Player of the Year last year, switches on to Luka. Defensive Players of the Year couldn't stop Luka.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan, where the people have spoken. They would like Mavs
everything.
And Stars, but there was there. Look,
it's variety.
There was plenty who voted for around the NFC East. There were more that said Mavs and Stars, and there's also a subsection that said if you want to do 4 straight hours of baseball every single day, that's fine too. So we're going to try to balance it all out and throw in some Mavs and Stars right here.
I'm going to be honest. For the first time this season, I didn't watch a second of the Stars and Blue Jackets.
And they put up a lot of goals for you, too.
Yeah, they including did. Your guy.
Yeah, they did, man.
Matt Duchene.
Number 95.
Thank you very much.
He's made some great assists, though, this year.
No, you're right, Mike. I loved last night.
And he's a good, what do we call it, in extra time?
Penalty not overtime, shooter.
Penalty shooter. Thank you.
I really did like his he's done this twice now. He has really good patience in delivering his pass to Marchment. Marchment, I was talking with Spittle about this last night, needs time to make a shot. You know, he needs
sure.
He's one of those guys, a big guy, you know, and he needs a little bit of time to put one in. And last night, the last two times I've seen Duchene set him up, he's given him plenty of space because everybody draws to Duchene, and he's they're just waiting. All right, you take it home now. And it was awesome last night, man.
Now, the Stars are continuing to pile up points. They also, there was a spark in that game that I felt good about is Jason Robertson, by his standards, has gotten out to a particularly slow start. So
what's new? we saw it in the playoffs, Kevin.
Oh, my gosh. So I liked seeing him get on the board with a couple of assists. Obviously,
they set up Harley last night on a really nice one.
Exactly. And you would love to see him just firing up all of the goals. That has not been the case. I think he only has one goal. But he has been getting involved in the scoring nonetheless. Mike, I really want to know, did you feel, I know why, we're all watching baseball
right.
or listening to it right here on 105.3 The Fan. Was there any part of sadness inside of you because you weren't watching the Stars and they were playing?
Not sadness.
Okay.
I mean, I was
it's
cool.
Early.
They have
there's a lot of baseball
75 more games. I knew that I wasn't going to catch every Stars game this year, so I missed one, but I'm loving what I'm watching.
Yeah.
And I will say, I did watch a little bit of the Mavs last night because I was up at Bally, so they had pre and post game up there with Dana Larson and Devin Harris. So on another TV up there, I was peeking a little bit during breaks of the World Series. So I didn't get a good feel for the game, but obviously I could check the score and the Mavericks – after they kind of, I think it was 85-84, they were winning after they kind of let Memphis get back in the game, went on a big run. Then Memphis came back and it was like 110-95, and you thought, they got this. And then Memphis goes on a run to close it within 7 or 4 points right around there. And then the Mavs went on another big run, and so far, so good.
What helped in some of those runs?
Derrick Jones Jr.
Somebody referred to as Roy Jones Jr. last night, but it's okay.
Let me tell you something. That was his best game of his career, and that was awesome. Good for Derrick Jones Jr.
So, hold on. Now, this is the thing. That's what I don't know. Is that going to happen more consistently, or was this one of those nights where it was just right for him because there were some breakaway points, but he also hit a couple threes that I was like, whoa.
I'll ask Reggie. Reggie, did you watch the Mavs game?
I definitely had it on, so I tried to give it some attention, but of course, like, primary attention was on World Series game number 3.
I was shocked when I heard at one point the producer for the Mavs go, hey, do you guys know who the leading scorer is right now? And I believe it was like early in the third or something. And he's like, it's Derrick Jones Jr. right now for the Mavs. Now, he ended up, Luka's gotten off to a tremendous start this year.
We'll talk about that in a second because you're right.
But Derrick Jones Jr., I'll give him all the credit in the world. Maybe this is one of those you pull off the heap. As my buddy Norm Hitchcock used to say, a bottom feeder. Like, you're looking at the bottom and you're like, look, nobody really wants these guys. Let's try. There's athleticism there. There's things that we could possibly use. Teams have tried it. They haven't figured him out and how to use him, whether it's use him correctly or that he can play in this league. But last night, with Kyrie Irving being out, like, he really stepped up and had a good game.
Yeah, and I know that this was something that they hoped from him, because obviously you mentioned the athleticism and those types of things that he brings. His shooting has kind of progressed throughout his career, but even last year he didn't shoot very well. I think he shot something like 34%, which is not notable. No. However, if you go and you look at his assisted three-point shots, he shot like 37%. I think that that's maybe what you're looking for. Open shots. He shot 37%. And I think that that's what you're hoping for, especially with like a Luka run offense, is that he's going to get assists and he's going to be wide open when, you know, Luka's driving and then kicking out and things of that nature. And this is where you see that paying out for you.
And I know Kyrie was out, but it feels like if you get the hot, now we'll include Derrick Jones Jr. games or Tim Hardaway Jr. games, feels like you need to win those because they can be, to your point, they can be sporadic. So when you get them, and somewhat get them in combination like last night, no, you could probably argue that point, but you need to win those games.
Yes, and we're seeing in 3 games, we're seeing what you can get from Derek Lively as a 19-year-old. Like, man, that first game was awesome.
Yeah.
Last night, five fouls in 14 minutes, so he's not really able to contribute, and that'll happen to young guys. I mean, it'll just happen. And then you had a decent game the other day where he did 17 minutes, 9 points, 4 of 4 from the field, 2 rebounds and a block shot. So I think with young guys, you deal with sometimes they're going to show all their potential in a game and be like, this is awesome. And then other times you're like, dang, I want you to be consistent. But usually that happens over a few years of experience.
I tell you, he finishes the season averaging 18 minutes a game with 9 points a game and 6 rebounds a game.
I'll take it.
Okay. Do you feel good about that?
I do. Yeah, okay. I do. At 19, I know he'll turn 20 at some point this year. But yes, at his age, and then kind of that would be better than his numbers at Duke somewhat. I think he averaged 7 rebounds at Duke. So if you're right around that number, to me, the points are not really his points. And don't get me wrong here.
Because they're usually lobs, putbacks.
Luka and Kyrie creating them and him setting a solid pick and then just going up and getting it and putting it back in. So I'm not too concerned about the points because it's not really him making them, like creating them. But the rebounds and the defensive presence and the block shots, those are the numbers that I'm really watching from him because I think that's where he can make a major impact with this team. And they desperately need him for those 15 to 20 minutes a night to make an impact defensively.
I loved when Luka had that moment where he was like, hey guys, this spot in the court right here, this is my hot zone, and I'm just going to stand here in this area and shoot threes.
Right.
Good luck trying to stop me right now. I have all the points.
And you're not going to, and you can't, and that's been evident. Luka's now the third player in NBA history with multiple 30-point triple-doubles in the first three games of the season. Russell Westbrook did it, and Oscar Robertson did it.
I like the Oscar Robertson part.
Do you know the other stat to go along with that I just saw, Kevin?
Ooh,
his 117 points through three games are the most a player has had since Steph did it in 2015. Curry unanimously won the MVP that season. So,
Steph Curry. Okay, I didn't know. I didn't know it was Marbury.
Yeah. Not Marbury in 2015, for sure.
That is a fair point.
He's probably in China playing.
And I know part of it's because of the World Series, but it is amazing that 35, 12, and 12 doesn't feel amazing. Does that make sense?
It's because he does it too often.
Yeah, it is. It is unequivocally amazing.
Yeah.
35 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists. And my initial thought when that happens is, nice, good job. Which, that is
like
too...
Like, that's who he is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's too low of praise for a crazy stat line like that, because that's what he does.
Offensively, I think you can argue, there's other people to argue with, but he's the best offensive player in the game of basketball. Like, I'm not saying best player.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong here. Obviously think Jokic and Giannis are better overall players, but if we're just talking about the game of offense in the NBA, he's phenomenal. I mean, right now he's averaging 39, 10, and 12 pretty much. I'm rounding up a hair because it's 9.7 assists and 11.7 rebounds on 39 points a game. And he's shooting right now. I know this won't keep up. He's shooting 48.6% from three. And I just love, if he can shoot
40% from three, to me, there's no question he's the best offensive player in basketball. I like this from the 806. Why haven't you discussed the real story, though? Luka was asked why every playoff game he's gone to, the Rangers have lost, and Luka blamed Dirk, not himself. I know he's just joking around, but I really like the tie-in to everything Rangers. You know, like Jamie Benn was talking about, oh, yeah, we got some off days coming up. I can get involved.
If Boach needs me.
Yeah, and obviously Jerry and Steven have talked about it, and Luka, and I mean, Dak's been out the games. Luka's like, nah, blame it on Dirk, not on me. So I like that all the other sports are like, you know, all supporting the Texas Rangers I honestly have no idea how much these people interact, because, like, I'm dead serious. When you were with the Nationals, I don't feel like you're probably hanging out with Capitals players or, you know.
The only people, and we didn't hang out with them, but we saw the soccer team because we shared the RFK.
The DC United?
Yeah. I think they had Freddie Adu, I think, maybe on that team. But
Is that why Freddie Adu sticks in your mind so much whenever you talk soccer?
Because in 2007, I don't know which year he made his debut, but 2007, he was a pretty solid name still.
Yeah.
I know that he had lost a little bit of cachet.
Whoa.
Ooh, man. Good word.
Thank you.
Look at you.
Hey, can I bring something up that just popped up on my Tom Pelissero timeline, Kevin?
What? Trade.
Looks like the Cardinals are sending Josh Dobbs to the Vikings.
Well, that makes sense as why he's not starting.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Are they on our schedule?
They're picking up Josh Dobbs as a starting quarterback.
Yeah. Yes, after losing Kirk Cousins, they're like, we need the NASA scientist.
He beat the Cowboys.
That is true, which is interesting. So I thought they were going to go back to Tune or go Kyler, because they were like, no, we tried it. But in reality, they already had probably the framework of a deal before carrying it all the way out.
So, yeah, we'll find out what the rest of it is. At the moment, options in the quarterback room alongside rookie Jaren Hall. So there you go.
I can't imagine getting traded as a quarterback in the middle of a season and they're like, here's our playbook. Learn it tomorrow.
You're right. But if you're Dobbs.
He's done that twice already, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And now you got to go to a new shop that might not have your jersey. But also, if you're Dobbs, you at least see a better chance to finish out the season, right? Because, like, eventually, if Kyler Murray was already back in practice, eventually he was going to bounce back in there, whereas with the Vikings, there's nobody who's stopping you this year.
What if you were one of the 15 people that bought a Joshua Dobbs Cardinals jersey after the Cowboys win because they're like, where's my jersey? I can't believe it.
Well, Josh Dobbs is one of those, so there's only 14 other ones.
That'll make them collectibles eventually, though.
I mean, one of my favorite Maverick jerseys that I still have is Wang Yuzhu, number 16, and it just says Wang on the back. Mm-hmm.
Give it up for the Wang.
God, what a simple person you are. All right, do you want to immediately get back into the Rangers, or do you want to hear about the Florida Man games?
What?
I feel like we've carved out enough time to get into this.
What are the Florida Man games?
He wants this. Give it to him. We've screwed him over during Football Nuggets.
That is a great point. The Florida Man Games, as SB Nation described it, is the dirtbag Olympics we've all been waiting for. Now, this is going to be a Florida sporting event in St. Augustine in February. Here are some of the categories. Weaponized pool noodle mud duel.
What does he mean weaponized? Like they're putting spikes through these things?
No, but you stand on a platform, kind of like American Gladiator style, above a massive above ground pool, of course, and try to knock your opponent into a giant vat of mud.
Oh, so they're just doing the joust. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, when it says weaponized, I'm thinking like you're shooting something through that pool noodle. You know, like y'all ever take the water, fill it up with water, and then pop it, and then all the water shoots across the pool. You can do that kind of with a potato gun.
This is Florida, so your option is the evading arrest obstacle course, where you will run from actual police officers in a course designed to determine if you could actually steal 3 pounds of ground beef from a grocery store.
Why that number?
Yeah, why ground beef?
And why ground beef specifically?
I don't know.
That the most stolen item in
Florida? I have not
gotten
a chance to look at the stealing patterns of Florida in grocery stores as opposed to other states.
But you'll get back to us when you do, though, right?
I definitely will. And not
I thought I've seen like videos where you can just walk out and just go to your car and leave. Is that how the thing's set up?
Florida, we're cracking down on crime.
Man, it's CVS. Yeah. It's just like CVS and Walgreens.
All right.
And Blockbuster.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
They don't have ground beef at Walgreens, though.
This is my favorite one.
They might.
A catalytic converter, two bikes, and a handful of copper pipes.
Yeah?
A race against time. All right, look.
My wife got her catalytic converter stolen.
Really?
So not cool.
Years ago.
Okay. Not cool, people.
I guess they get underneath the car, cut it out real quick, and then leave.
God. So don't do that. But if you're competing in the Florida Man games, how fast can you steal a catalytic converter and get away with a bunch of copper pipes on two bikes?
That is something I don't have an answer for, I'll be honest.
This really sounds like the crackhead section of the games, man.
Yeah, like, all right, like, you're low on drug money, and it's time.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, what's the prize on this? What is the prize for this?
You know what? That is a great question. I don't know if I know the answer to that. Oh, my gosh. Nitro and Ice from American Gladiators will also be there to help decide.
I thought that was the prize. The winners that you're getting Nitro and
All right,
Ice.
Fine.
Those were the guys that were buddies.
People.
You're getting drugs as
no,
the prize.
The people from American Gladiators. And you might think, hold on. We need to appeal to more of Florida. Don't worry. There's also Beer Belly Florida Sumo, where it's sumo wrestling, and you can use your beer bellies as a weapon.
All right.
I don't know if this is
so that kind of incorporates everybody there. You know, it's just not just fast people. It also incorporates people that can use their weight to distribute things.
I don't necessarily know if I've seen a spot where this gets televised. Tell me you wouldn't be interested in watching it.
Oh, yeah, I'm in. Not for long. Like I'm like, okay, tell me when each event starts because I want to see how it goes. But here's how they hook you, though. You know, something like that's the thing that you're like, whoa, hold on. That was actually pretty cool. It's like, what's the show on Channel 8 where they got the big red balls? And
Wipeout.
Yes. It's like Wipeout. There's nothing special about it, but watching people fall is hilarious. That is a given. Like, you see somebody fall and you always want to laugh first. And then you go, oh, are you okay? And that, but that's exactly what this show is. I just want to see people fall down or get run over or trip and you know, not injure themselves.
There are many other options, including a mullet contest, a Florida man pinup. So it's
pinup
and chicken coop bingo.
What about like shoot a gator? I've seen that show.
Ooh, I don't see that on the initial list. And also, tickets are $45 to go to this thing. Feels too high. That feels like we might have priced people out of that.
Somebody said, I'll watch that on Twitter. That's for sure.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm with you on
like
that.
Like small clips of it.
Yeah.
The highlights.
Yes, I definitely want to see that. Yeah, $45 is way too much.
Yeah.
I can't be spending that. I mean, I'm trying to take my family to this. This is a family event, obviously.
Is it?
I'm trying to, yeah.
Is that what you took from
you
this?
You think that my kids don't want to watch some people fall down too? Come okay, on, man. Well, we got to do that as a family. That's a great opportunity to share with each other.
I just want to remind you, the Florida Man Pinup Contest is described like this. A contest of wild and wonderful women of Florida, judged by some of Florida's, quote, most notable women. So I don't know.
Who's the most notable woman from Florida? And where do you think they acquired these notable women from?
I don't know.
Is this one of those things where they're like, let's go to the clubs, let's go to the beach. Let's go to the beach and find some women who are willing to take part in the pinup contest.
I have no idea who the most notable woman from Florida is. We'll look into that. I don't know if we will.
The 903, $45 isn't too high if you sell a couple catalytic converters.
I guess that is true. I'm not really trying to like encourage people.
The 561, do people need to be tweaked out to compete in this competition?
Okay, well, clearly I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board and find out some more stuff about this. In the meantime, let's go back to the Texas Rangers. And I know we've talked a lot about that win last night. Here's another thing I wanted to throw out. 9 road games, 9 victories.
Okay.
That is the most road wins in a single postseason for any baseball team ever. Just to put that in comparison, in the history of the Texas Rangers, their longest road winning streak ever is 9 games.
Wow.
So they haven't done that in at least a
decade.
Are
you serious?
Yes. So they have matched their longest road winning streak ever.
This is a team that, and I really do think that moment in Seattle probably did, you know, send them on this kind of trajectory that they're on right now. Listen, man, you're playing the Astros. You're going to have to deal with a couple losses. You're playing in the World Series. You're going to have to deal with a team that's giving you their best, too. But they've gone on this run as a team that said it doesn't matter where we play. We feel like we're a great team. We feel like we have talent. We feel like we can do a lot of these things. So I have no doubt about their ability to go on a run like this and win every game on the road. I really don't doubt that they can win every game on the road. They feel comfortable in that area. They feel comfortable in other people's stadiums. And, Kevin, like last night, I know the moment when Marcus Semien, the ball went through his glove.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of got the crowd going and everything. But John Gray was dealing. And you have such comfort with your pitching at moments where you really need them to step up. And they have been, and it's been awesome.
You mentioned John Gray. Do you want to hear an impressive stat about John Gray, Evan Carter, Corey Seager, or Josh Spores?
Let's go with Spores first.
All right. As it stands, this is per Jared Sandler. By the way, hopefully you're following Jared Sandler on Twitter already.
Yeah, great content.
And if you're not, you should do so immediately because he has all kinds of info about all these games, everything you need to know. As it presently stands, Josh Spores is the only pitcher in franchise history to throw at least 9 innings in a postseason and give up 1 or fewer runs. He has given up 1 run in 9 2/3 innings pitch. So when we talk about John Gray and Jose Leclerc and appreciate that very, very much, Sabores has been a huge part of this as well.
Yeah, and what he did during the regular season gave me no faith. Like, there was nothing this season that was like, okay, I know I can rely on this guy to go out there and do what he's done. And even there are moments when he starts an inning, Kevin, where I'm like, what is going, like, is this guy, does he know where the strike zone is? Is he throwing at the glove? What's happening here? And then he starts to find it. And then he, you know, because the heat, because the ability to hit in different eye levels, to give you different looks on different things, and then he has a really good breaking ball to go along with it. Like, Spores is just, he's found it. Whatever that groove is, he's found it. It really scared me last night whenever he went up for that, or he was watching that pop up, and then you kind of see his legs kind of tremble a little bit. And I was like, oh no, what's wrong with him? Is he going to be hurt? Because that's another very important piece to this whole thing.
And just so we don't leave John Gray out, 4 2/3 innings pitched in the World Series. He's faced 16 batters, retired 14, 2 singles, no walks, 7 strikeouts.
Okay, wow. That's
so
that's
I don't
really
want to leave
good.
Him
yeah.
out if we're hyping up Spores. John Gray
no.
may well have been your MVP last night. He probably was.
There's something about the calm presence he had. Kevin, I take this back to us talking to him for the first time, or for the second time at spring training this year. Whenever we got done with our interview, he was just sitting up in the press box behind us, right? And he's just staring around, and he's just kind of looking at us like, this is awesome.
And he wanted to stay and
hang
out.
Yeah, he wanted to just kind of stay and hang around, and we were like, okay, like, this. Like, if you want to, you can stick around and do another segment with us. He was like, this is just really cool. His presence last night made me feel very comfortable because he didn't look shaken by anything. He didn't look nervous. He had his stuff. And once you found out he had his fastball, like even if he didn't have the command of his slider as much, he had really good command of his fastball, and then he was able to whip that thing in there anytime he wanted to. It looked really nice last night.
Yeah, I get the sense that an Evan Carter stat is needed potentially to cheer up Mike Bassick. Is Evan?
Our phones suck at this station.
Evan Carter is the 15th player, age 21 or younger, with multiple multi-hit World Series games. That, first of all, is incredible in and of itself. Here are some of the other names on that list. Jimmy Fox, Mickey Mantle, Juan Soto, Ty Cobb. Ignore that other stuff about Ty Cobb. I can't help
it. On the field, he was a good baseball player.
Willie Mays and Joe DiMaggio.
Okay.
That's not the entire list, but those are the people that you're talking about. So right now, Evan Carter is on the list at the World Series level with Jimmy Fox, Mickey Mantle, Ty Cobb, Willie Mays, Joe DiMaggio. We're talking about some of the greatest players in the history of this sport.
I just wish somebody would have told us about Evan Carter, you know, that we would have known. Because at the beginning of the season, there were people out there that were talking on radio that had no clue who this guy was.
I feel like Mike told us quite a bit.
Like multiple
Thank
years
God
ago.
Thank God I did it on this microphone instead of calling in about it. And we would have never heard about it.
You know, and Mike was excited about him this season. He was like, man, is there an opportunity? And I think we were kind of predicting July would be a time that he would be able to be called up. And when we talked with Chris Young, you know, Mike was stopped him in the clubhouse right outside of the Rangers logo where Eric stepped all over it, obviously. And he was like, had the conversation with
him. I think was on the couch chilling
and just hanging out with
the
a pitcher
pitching
somewhere.
Couch, yeah.
And so like he had this idea of like, I could start this guy and bat him ninth, but here we are. He's just in the middle of the lineup, in the sweet spot of the lineup. And he's playing. I do have a question, Mike, about does he have a great arm? Because I see his arm and I'm like, it's fine. But
It's like the Diamondbacks outfield. So here's the deal. This is interesting what you're talking about because Jared and I were talking about this last night. Somebody called in and said, we need to play like the Diamondbacks if Adolis is out and try to steal bases and try to do certain things like they did. And Moreno is a great catcher behind the plate. He's very tough to run on. The other thing, too, is the Diamondbacks are pretty quick to the plate. They do a good job of holding on runners. So you might not be able to take extra bases by stealing off of the Diamondbacks. But Nate Lowe last night hit a single, which could have been a double, but he knew out of the box, I got to get a double here because they don't have great arms. Your extra bases to take on the Diamondbacks might be by taking them on the outfielders. That means you have to get hits. You can't just walk to first base and then steal second, steal third, which the Diamondbacks can do to you. So I felt like what you're bringing up is a valid point that a listener last night was just talking about, kind of, hey, how do we do what they're doing? And it might not be off of their pitcher and catcher. It might be when you do hit the ball in the outfield, be ready to get to second base on that base hit.
Yeah, no, that's just something I've been watching him. He's had a couple of balls in his area. And I'm like, oh, he's about to gun this guy down at home. And it doesn't necessarily happen. I think Tavares still has the stronger arm out in center field, which, you know, that's we've been talking about next year's team. And
yeah.
I kind of want to avoid that a little bit. But I do think about the future of Evan Carter. And while he has this amazing patience at the plate, he has all these tools. That's the one thing that I'm like, all right, we'll grow that. Let's try to grow that a little more.
Mike likes it is over. We're supposed to have Brandon Webb. It's not, our phones don't work.
Can I tell you?
He said he feels bad, Webby. There's nothing he could do. Our phones are broken now. That he's going to maybe try to do it tomorrow. So, I mean, obviously, there'll still be more of a World Series. If you don't know who he is, he's a 2006 Cy Young winner for the Diamondbacks. He covers them. He does television for them like I do on pre and post. So, hopefully tomorrow he can call in and talk about what's happening after game 4 of the World Series.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Can I throw, was he runner-up twice too?
He was second and third. So in a three-year period, he was first, second, and third.
Holy moly. Can I throw out Corey Seager stat then? As long as
runner-up both times. I thought he finished third.
Woo,
yeah.
Baby.
So Cy Young in 06, second in 07, second in 08.
Corey Seager has 5 home runs in his first 16 World Series games, which is tied for third all time. Interestingly enough, former Dallas Morning News writer Goose Goslin is number one on the list, so that's fun. He's tied with
probably, I don't know if that's the same person,
guy.
Kevin.
He's tied with Lou Gehrig, Duke Snider, and Mickey Mantle. So you just think about it. We talked about Evan Carter a minute ago, and now Corey Seager. They're both in World Series categories where they're tied up with Mickey Mantle, which feels like an amazing place to be.
Yeah, no, it is pretty amazing.
He's decent.
They both might make it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
I have cracked the code on why John Smoltz hates the Rangers. Oh.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.